Hey there, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to another edition of the long-lost MTB Strength Coach Podcast. Kind of been a little while since I've done my last one. Seems like this is one of those things that I like doing, but sometimes have trouble finding something that I can be consistent and stick with it. So hopefully, I think I've got a good idea here, and that is to pull some questions that I've been getting from my Tuesday afternoon Facebook Q&A sessions and going into them in a little bit more detail. And sometimes somebody will ask a really good question there, and you know, it's kind of tough to give them a really in-depth answer. So what I'm going to do is pull some of the best questions from that and kind of start answering them on the podcast, and I'm sure that'll lead to some other ideas and things to talk about, but see how this goes. So the first one that I have was a question by Jonathan Lombardo. I think it was this week, and he asked, what's the fastest way to lower your recovery time between hard efforts, i.e. climbing or hammering up a climb, slight downhill, and then hammer again type thing? And so I think what he's asking, I think we've all experienced this, and this is really one of the things that I refer to as high tension cardio. And that's when you've got that hard effort where you're laying down tension, you got to lay down more core tension. When you stand up to hammer up a climb, you got to have more core tension. When you stand up to go down a downhill. And so when you're done with that effort, the heart rate tends to raise a little bit. That's one of the differences between high tension and kind of low tension cardio efforts. Is a low tension one, like a spin, a high RPM low tension spin. As soon as you're done with that effort, your heart rate tends to start dropping right away. With the high tension effort, because you have that extra core tension, your heart's having to work a little harder. When you take it away, that extra core tension, when you finally do get to relax, then your heart will heart rate will actually go up a little bit, because now it's not having to beat and overcome that tension. You take away that extra tension and boom, it actually goes up. But you've got to recover your heart rate even more then. And so one of the things that you have to do is train your recovery. And this is something that I've been talking with the riders that I train a lot with lately, is that you can't discount the recovery part of your training program. And people kind of look at the rest periods as that time between exercises that you just kind of got to get through and you want to rush through, and really it's just kind of this pain in the butt, and the shorter it is, the better. And you know, that's unfortunate, because those rest intervals, those rest periods between exercises, those rest periods between hard interval efforts when you're doing your cardio, that is your chance to practice your recovery. So using your breath as effectively as you can, so that each breath is as efficient as it can be, is going to help lower your heart rate faster. Working on your ability to reduce tension. So, you know, the idea of shaking your limbs like you're trying to shake water off of them, you know, just trying to lower the tension. So just simple things like that, and practicing those things in between your exercises and hard efforts on your cardio training, you'll find will really help you on the bike, because that's exactly what you're going to have to do. You're going to have that hard effort. You're going to have that hard climb. You know, you get to a point where you can sit down, take a little tension off, catch your breath for a second, but you got another climb coming up. And the more efficiently you can breathe and catch your breath and lower your tension levels before the next climb, the more efficiently you're going to be able to hammer that climb. So at a certain point, you know, the recovery becomes just as important to train as the ability to work hard. And so again, that's my answer to that. I think that, you know, there's some things you can do from a training standpoint. You know, making sure that you are doing strength training, because if all you're doing is riding, you're not really getting enough, high tension training to be comfortable with that. So the stronger you are, the easier things like that are going to feel, the less effort it's going to take. And so, you know, you definitely can attack that from a training side. But the recovery thing, like I said, is something that so many riders overlook, and I think will really help. So, again, that's my answer to that one. So the next question that I wanted to go into is on race day nutrition. And this is something I think that has probably been asked almost every Facebook Q&A session since I started doing these pretty regularly a couple months ago. And that is, you know, what do I recommend the day before, the day of, you know, or the day after, or all three, you know, some combination of that of a race. And basically what at the heart of it is, what do you do differently with your nutrition on race day and the day before and day after that, you know, what should you do differently, I guess, is at the heart of that question. And really, I mean, the unfancy answer is nothing. I mean, really, like, the way that you eat on race day should simply be an extension of the way that you eat the other time, every other day of the week, month, year, whatever, however. So again, just kind of at the heart of it, you know, old Musashi in the Book of Five Rings, like, wrote about this back you know, a few hundred years ago, talking about the way that you you know, everything should be an extension of itself. The way that you perform in battle should be an extension of how you train, and how you train should be an extension of how you live. And so, you know, that idea of, like, everything just being an extension of the other, it extends to your nutrition program. And so if you're following sound nutrition habits, then on race day, you shouldn't need to be doing anything really elaborate. And a lot of times what I hear with this, when people say, are asking this, what they're saying is, my everyday nutrition is really not so rockin' hot. And I know that. And so what can I do to try to make up for that around race day? And so that's a different question, you know, and honestly, I still say that what you need to do is rely on trying to get your everyday nutrition dialed in as best as possible. And so just following the basic 1-2-3s of nutrition that I've talked about so many times, you know, trying to make sure that you're eating every 3 to 4 hours, like, basically not letting yourself get hungry, trying to eat lean protein, and trying to eat some fruits and or vegetables, and avoid a lot of refined carbohydrates with your meals. And that, you know, if you're doing those three things, then you've got the basic building blocks for a good nutrition strategy. But so anyways, I mean, this is just kind of a rambling way of saying that the race day nutrition should basically just be an extension of what you do most of the time. And you really don't want to mess around on race day anyways. That's not the day to be experimenting with different foods and different eating strategies and stuff like that. So, again, you know, this is also part of what extends to, again, this idea of training and being an extension. You know, how you train, how you perform in a race should be an extension of how you train. So that means that one day a week, or you know, a cardio session every once in a while should be you trying to mimic your race day. And so, you know, I've talked about this before, that, like, if you race at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and all of your rides are during the week in the evenings, and you can't quite figure out why you have trouble, you know, not performing your best at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and you never ride at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning except on race day, well, that could be something there. Like, you have to train your body to be ready to perform at the times that it needs to perform. So again, just an extension, if you need to, you know, practice waking up and fueling for a hard effort in the morning when that's not what you're used to doing, then, you know, that just goes back to kind of what you're doing with your training program overall. And, you know, remembering that at the heart of it, you should be trying to mimic what you do in battle, what you do in your race, and everything should be supporting that in some way. And so anyways, there you go. Race day nutrition for you. You know, get your regular nutrition dialed in and you know, go from there. So the last thing that I want to go over is a question that actually had come up kind of offhand a few weeks ago, and that is concerning spin classes, and are they a good way to train for mountain biking? And the you know, honestly, here's the problem with this, and this it falls into the same category as road riding, when people are like, well, road riding is a great way to train for mountain biking. And it's like, compared to what? Like, that is always the ultimate question, is compared to what are we talking about? Like, are we talking about compared to nothing and sitting on the couch and doing nothing? Well, yeah, it's a great way to train compared to that. But are we talking about a structured program that is geared for the demands of mountain biking? No, spinning, you know, going to a spin class is one of the worst ways, honestly, in my opinion, that you can train for mountain biking. And there's a couple reasons for it. The main thing is that mountain biking is not about pedaling. Like, so much of mountain biking is not pedaling. And so all you're doing is having somebody have you just pedal and work your butt off for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, when on the trail, that's not what you're doing. You are, you know, pedaling and then stopping. You're rarely able to keep a continuous pedal for a long time. So again, the realities of what you're training are different in a spin class than what you're doing on the trail. And so a spin class, I think, wouldn't be I think some spin classes are obviously better than others, but I think that it's not a bad way to train for, you know, road riding, where that is more of your reality. But mountain biking is not road riding on dirt. And spin classes train you to be better at a skill, basically continuous pedaling, that is not a reality on the trail. And so if you want to build your cardio and endurance, you need to build your cardio and endurance for what you're doing on the trail, which are, you know, things like the attack position, standing climbing, you know, hard efforts with quick recovery. We were talking about this earlier, how, you know, a big reality of mountain biking is that hard, high tension effort with a short period to recover and another hard, high tension effort. And a lot of what makes high tension efforts high tension is the terrain, the fact that you're trying to navigate on loose technical trail, and that requires a different degree of core strength and balance and things going on than when you have infinite traction like you do on a road bike. And so again, the high tension side and the reality of mountain biking is so much different. And so I think that you know, combo drills are a great way to train something like that. You know, you see in like my you know, DB Combos program and my kettlebell conditioning program both have combo drills in them. And so that's a great way to train for that type of effort. You know, intervals, just strength training, there's just so many things that are more effective for you to do. Now, if you enjoy the spin class, again, then we get back to like, well, I just like doing it and I'm going to do that and I'm not going to do something I don't enjoy, which may be more effective for, you know, being a mountain biker. Well, then that's fine. But again, let's just be totally honest with ourselves that, you know, there are better things that you can do with your time to train as a mountain biker than go to a spin class. But, you know, again, you know, if that's all you're going to do, and that's better than nothing. And so again, we just need to know what we're talking about. But, you know, again, I don't know where spin classes have gotten this awesome reputation for being this great way to train is for mountain biking. But, the reality is they're not. There's a lot better ways to spend your time doing that. So, again, I'm not trying to bash spin classes. You know, if you're just into it for fitness, again, if you're a roadie, if you enjoy it, then they have a place. But if we're talking about just straight transfer of time, minute to minute, you know, if I'm putting a minute into this training, training, then what am I getting out of it on the trail? And minute for minute, the time that you're putting into a spin class is nowhere near as efficiently spent as it is doing other things like, you know, targeted mobility, strength work, cardio work, and things that really target what you need on the trail. So, anyways, I'm sure that some people probably have differing opinions on that, and I definitely welcome, you know, questions and discussion on that. So, you know, please feel free to visit my blog at bikejames.com and post any questions or comments on this, you know, blog post with this podcast, and, you know, definitely be happy to, you know, get to it. But, so that's basically it for this podcast. Those are the three questions that I had, written down. And so, you know, I'm sure I'll get some more that pop up, you know, either through emails or, you know, the Facebook Q&A. So again, if you're not a fan already, you can go over to facebook.com/MTB Strength Training Systems and like the page. And every Tuesday afternoon at, about noon Mountain Standard Time, so I guess like what, 2 o'clock Eastern and 11 o'clock Pacific, I put up the Facebook Q&A. I leave it up for a few hours. So, you know, don't worry. I don't have to be available at exactly that time. You got a, you know, a few hours to be able to pop over and post your question. And again, I try to get you, you know, a short answer that day on that. But again, if it's a really good question and something that, you know, a little more in depth would be good, then I'll be going into it in the future podcast and trying to do one of these at least like once every other week to stay up to date on stuff. So that's going to do it. You know, hope you're having a great Friday. I've got a good day with my little girl. Friday is daddy-daughter day, so we're going to go hang out tomorrow morning as I'm recording this on Thursday afternoon. But hope you've got a good Friday plan and a good weekend. And remember, you've got a few more days left to get my new in-season endurance training program. So, excuse me, after this weekend, it's going to go back available only on my personal coaching membership site, so you can get the whole package there, full 8-week training block, something to help keep you riding strong not only today but throughout the rest of the season, working on your strength and that high tension cardio stuff that's so important for us as riders. We've got to make sure we've got those things covered because that's really the building blocks for us as riders. And so if you start to lose that through the season, through not training it or not having an efficient training program, then that's what's going to lead to that late season slump that all of us want to avoid. So that program will definitely help you avoid that. But you can find that again at my blog at bikejames.com, and you can find more info on that. But again, got any questions for me, post them on the Facebook Q&A thing this coming up Tuesday, and I'll get to it. Again, had fun doing this. Give me some good questions, and I'll keep rocking these out. In the meantime, ride strong, and you can find me on the web at bikejames.com, and I'll talk to you next time.